Notre Dame knocks down the Georgia Bulldogs in... Part of me wants to say it was the worst game of the bowl series so far of the college football playoff. Am I wrong?
As D-bag football guy would say, it actually was the best because it was a defensive battle. You just yes. don't appreciate it enough.
It was just. I mean, Riley Leonard completed 15 passes for 90 yards.
But here's the thing. That game was never going to be an offensive shootout. That game was exactly how every expert predicted it would be. It would be
ugly as sin.
It was going to be two really good defenses, and then whoever won the turnover battle is who was going to win that game.
Can I push back on that?
Yeah.
I don't think Georgia's this defense that people think they are. I think that they are not they're good and they can be very good. But they are not the Georgia of old.
I'm not claiming that.
They are not, and I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that they are not two or three deep, and they don't just come at you in waves. They are not this just menacing. Like, that Georgia team from 3 years ago was, to me, on defense, what Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson were at LSU.
And that's fair.
Like, that defense was maybe the best modern-day defense we've ever seen.
And that's fair. And I don't know that we'll ever see that defense again. And or an offense like what you talked about with LSU. Yeah. Like, there's kind of belief right now with a lot of college football experts that this is the last, like, this Ohio State team, now that they're finally playing to their potential, this might be the last one that is this much better, like, at their true peak than everyone else. Although there was some belief at the start of the year that that's what Georgia would be. And I'd push back on the defensive side, because if you look at the big games that Georgia won, they won those strictly because of their defense. When they beat Texas, both times that they beat Texas, they won those games because that defense balled out. The first time when they played down in Texas, their defense turned Quinn Ewers over multiple times. They forced fumbles. They started their offense with short fields to go, and Carson Beck couldn't even find a way to screw those up. Then in the SEC championship game, you lose your starting quarterback halfway through. You're down in that game, and you completely shut Texas down the rest of the way, right? And this is a Texas team that has proven, you know, they played Clemson. They ran all over that defense, and that Clemson defense isn't bad. So I think that Georgia's defense was one of, if not the strongest, when it played at its true peak that we had seen this year. They're going up against a Notre Dame team that is in that same category when we're talking about defense, and they were down their best defensive end, right? And they still found a way to shut them down. I felt like Marcus Freeman, frankly, coached probably his best
game of his life.
It's his best game. Like, he gets a little bit of that James Franklin label of you lose in big moments. When the biggest moments come, Ohio State.
Like, when you put 10, Northern Illinois.
You put 10, well, he also lost to Marshall at one point, too. So remember that. Yeah. But when the biggest games have happened, what has he done? He puts 10 guys out two plays in a row against Ohio State, finds a way to lose that. You know, when he played, like, his big game this year was Texas A&M. His big game this year was Indiana. Those don't really count. So now you're getting to go up against Georgia. And to be fair to Kirby Smart, he does have a second string QB in. But I felt like Freeman coached on par. He had a couple mistakes, but then his genius play to have your punting group out on 4th and 11 and then 11-on-11 switch to get the offsides and get the first down, like, that's fantastic.
It's a simple, subtle little thing that you keep worked in there, and it works out well for you. I look at this game and I go, this is exactly what I saw from Notre Dame this season.
They're going to rely on that D.
We're going to need that for later.
Dang it.
That was just too clean.
Boom. Out of here.
Dusty will appreciate that one. But, I mean, like, that Georgia team, that, you know, outside of Tate Ratledge, their offensive line is not what it has been in the past. Their defensive front is not what it has been in the past. Their secondary, I mean, the Notre Dame can't attack it the same way that, you know, Texas did, in the sense of, like, hey, we're going to play a little game called Where's the Underclassman DB? I mean, if you go back to that SEC title game, Texas should have won that game, to me, by 3 scores. It just,
They played with their food.
They played with their food. They stepped on the rake, you know, swallowed the shotgun, whatever you want to say as far as, like, the self-destructive behavior. It was bad. But this game was horrendous. But credit to Notre Dame for making it and keeping it horrendous. And for, you know, I'm seeing on the YouTube chats, if Georgia would have had Carson Beck, they would have throttled Notre Dame. Carson Beck isn't good, guys. He's
no, he took a huge regression step.
You take a look, and this isn't me just being like anti-SEC or anti-Georgia. I actually like Georgia. Basically, every number on Carson Beck this year is horrendous. You look at the PFF stuff. You look at the NFL stuff.
His decision making is poor at best.
Brett Coleman from Underdog Fantasy has all the quarterback charting and year to year scouting. Basically, the same here are the markers that NFL teams kind of look at.
Right.
And it's all kind of a color coded from green being good down to red. Transition. Three bar color chart. And Carson Beck's basically entire chart was just glowing red. There was nothing redemptive about him this year.
That being said, though,
his wide receivers suck.
His wide receivers are bad.
They are just not. It is not Ladd McConkey. It is not Brock Bowers. Those two dudes were absolute monsters.
Well, and Price wasn't able to play at the end of the year. You had to kick off, was it Ra-Ra was his name? They had to kick off at their second best wide receiver. So you had a wide receiver group that was poor. But the other thing, to be fair to Beck about, I think, is as poor as he was still the starter and was never benched for a reason. And so these people who came in and were like, well, Stockton's coming in and Nick Saban said that he's going to be great. I can't wait. They probably got an upgrade. And that's just wrong. I understand that it's easier to call for the backup quarterback.
It's always easy to call for the other guy.
But we're not in those meetings.
No.
We don't know what Stockton knows or doesn't know. We don't know how truly strong his arm is. Kirby Smart is a championship coach. He's a smart coach. People would probably say that he's a top 3 to 5 coach in college football right now, currently. Yes,
100%.
That's what he is, right? He still went with Beck the whole year.
Yeah.
Never even entertained using Stockton. No. So
now it is, well, part of that, we do have to recognize is NIL and commitments, things of that nature. You can't make the changes maybe in the past that you could have. Mm-hmm. There are other things that play into that, and I'm sure that frustrates a lot of coaches. That is a reality. But I was talking to quite a few Georgia fans. Surprisingly, I know quite a few Georgia alum, and they were all at a Blazers game the other night, and they were at the SEC title game, and they were like, "Well, Gunner's going to be the guy, and we lost faith in Beck. We all know the wide receivers aren't good, but." Stockton has got some mobility to him. And that was the thing that they hammered. And I think that where you've got to give credit to Notre Dame is Gunnar Stockton didn't do a damn thing with his legs.
No, he had negative 23 yards. Now that's because of sack yardage.
But still,
he looked young.
Yeah.
On the fumble, right? You have to feel that defensive end as a quarterback. You have to feel the defensive end there coming off the edge. And it's a great play by Notre Dame's defensive end, but that completely flips this game. If you think about it, this game was close, and then two plays happened. The Notre Dame defensive end comes around the edge. He gets the strip sack. It's a great rush by him, but if Stockton just hitches up 1 yard, which is all he had to do, he should have been able to feel that. They don't fumble there, and Georgia goes into halftime, down 6-3?
Yeah.
Right? Well, now you fumble there.
And then
Leonard throws a touchdown, and then the next opening kickoff, you run it back for a touchdown. That was the ball game.
Yeah.
The ball game was won because Notre Dame forced a turnover deep in Georgia territory, and they ran a kickback. As soon as that happened, it was over because neither team's offense was going to move on the other defense.
Yeah. When we were wrapping up the show, 6-3, it was 28 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And Georgia,
they hadn't moved. They didn't do anything.
I don't understand why they didn't just knee it out.
I would agree. Run the ball.
It's 6-3.
I would run the ball in case something positive went your way. That's how I would handle it. But
you're
throwing there with a backup quarterback.
I just
doesn't make sense.
My whole thing was what are you doing here? You're deep in your own territory with the backup quarterback. It's 6-3. It's basically 0-0. You're going into halftime 0-0. Who has momentum?
Right.
I think it was 28 seconds, if I remember right. It's
27.
27, yeah.
Less.
It's what is the gain there? Yeah. What were they at the 20, 23-yard line?
Inside of their own 30.
Yeah. It was just like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. You make that play, and look, credit to Freeman and Notre Dame for you know, making a play and then capitalizing on it and having Riley Leonard make the one throw of the game. Every time I look at Riley Leonard's stats, I get sick. 170 total yards.
He would be a great South Dakota State, North Dakota State quarterback.
Yeah,
that's exactly how he plays the game.
Just like 14 carries for 80 yards. Like that's nice. Like that's solid. But I mean, he had a higher running average than he did passing average. He ran for 5.7 yards per carry. He threw for 3.8 yards per throw.
Someone with his hairline shouldn't be as fast as he is. Yeah. Like that was the difference,
or
though,
his,
in this
or his
game.
Complexion.
I'm just going to go with hair. As a bald man who has a receding hairline, he shouldn't be as fast as he is. But that was also the difference for Notre Dame. When they needed a big first down, Riley Leonard got it with his legs. Like, he's able to get the edge. Now, it'll be interesting to see how this game goes against Penn State, because it kind of feels like it's going to be a similar matchup to what Georgia was, right? It was the winner of this game between Notre Dame and Georgia. Whichever team's quarterback played the best and whichever team got the most turnovers was going to win. Whoever won the turnover difference was going to win. And that's exactly what happened in this game. You forced three fumbles. You got two of them back. The Trevor Etienne one was the worst from Georgia because they were driving. That's after the big play. They're driving. And you force a turnover there to save the points. And then it starts your own drive, which led to 3 points for you. And then Riley Leonard didn't turn the ball over. And when you needed a first down, yeah, he didn't do it in the most traditional way for a quarterback, but he ran and got the first downs that you needed to keep drives moving, to put yourself in the opportunity to score. When you needed a touchdown with 20 seconds left to really put Georgia back on their heels, Riley Leonard got it. It didn't look pretty, never will, but it was enough to get the job done. And I kind of think that's going to be the same thing with Penn State if Abdul Carter plays. If Abdul Carter plays, Penn State, they're not going to let this Notre Dame defense score more than maybe one, maybe two touchdowns unless they get some turnover luck. And it's kind of the same thing with how this Notre Dame defense is built. Like, you're worried about them taking a step back. They lose their best defensive end in Mills. They didn't look lost at all. They went toe-to-toe with Georgia, and frankly, they kind of dominated Georgia. Again, to be fair, backup quarterback, first ever start, college football playoff.
Yeah.
It's still Georgia, and you dominated them, and you looked like you belonged.
And that's where this thing's going to go. We'll, as we pivot into next week, we'll talk about Penn State and Notre Dame and Texas and Ohio State.